Slidell. This is Bob Rouse, your host to the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. It's neighbors talking to neighbors about matters of community interest. Our guest today on Voices is a friend of ours for a long time, Chaplain Leo Jackson of the St. Joseph Hospice. So welcome, Leo. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
The subject of hospice, it's a subject I guess people don't like to talk about.
No, they don't. It's very hard to talk about because it's difficult when you're going to lose someone who is going to be going into hospice. No, it's difficult for them to talk about it.
So it's better for us to exchange information when there's nothing going on, rather than trying to figure it out when you're trying to deal with your own emotions and understand at the same time.
Yes, Bob, that was my objective, is to help try to educate the community a little bit more in the subject of hospice, but particularly in the area of grief.
Well, great. Well, you work primarily in the Slidell area.
I work St. Tammany Parish.
Well, tell us a little bit about grief. What are some of the high points that we need to know about?
Well, Bob, there are two important things to know about grief. First of all, it's an uncontrollable beast. You never know when or where it's going to pop up and demand its due. You just never know when a photo, a word, a smell, or just a simple thought will take you back to a pain that you have felt in the past. There are two definitions I'd like to share with you. One is the definition of grief, and the other is definition of mourning. The definition of grief is a reaction to any form of loss. The definition of mourning is the process of coping with grief. In the realm of hospice, grief can affect you as it affects the loss of a loved one. It can be a parent, a grandparent, brothers and sisters, children, and even grandchildren. I want to take just a second, Bob, because, you know, scientifically, they have proven that an expression of grief can be one of five stages.
Well, let me stop you there. Grief is not necessarily a bad, I mean, it's not something we want to avoid or something we want to put on the shelf and say, well, how can we protect ourselves from grief? This is not a good thought, is it?
No, it's a natural process that the human psyche needs to go through. The five stages of grief, the first stage is denial, and this is when someone refuses to believe that a probable death will occur. Now, how does that happen? Basically, someone has an illness. When they visit a doctor, a specialist, they determine that this person's illness is going to result in the death of that patient in 6 months or less. I personally, Bob, I don't even know how I would react to this, even being a chaplain in the hospice world, of being able to be told, you will be dying in 6 months or less. You will be leaving this earth. So you're going to do a lot of introspective thinking when that occurs, and it can be very, very distressing. The second stage of grief is anger, because once a diagnosis is accepted, anger comes out. What kind of anger? Well, anger's at doctors because they shared that information based on results, tests, and experience. I want to share that with you. The other one is sometimes people get angry at God for not allowing them to accomplish something that they had wanted to do during this lifetime. All of a sudden they find out that that time has been shortened, and so then they begin to question God by saying, why me? And that's a question that many people seem to be asking. The third stage of grief is called bargaining. This is when you begin to negotiate with God and doctors because you simply want to say, if I could only have a little more time, God, please, in their deep prayers, from their deepest part of their heart and soul, you know, they're communicating with their God, just saying, what is it that I can do that you would grant me more time? Especially when you go back for your other visits to the doctors, you're very interested if that doctor can tell you some kind of cure, you know, may have been found, or something can be done differently, and it may extend your life one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, because there have been many examples of medicine being able to help patients extend their lives. So they're very, very happy to hear that. The fourth stage is the one that causes the most difficulty for families who are in grieving, and this is called depression. Depression begins to set in whenever there's the fear of the unknown. Particularly, many of the patients ask, where am I going? They ask, what's going to happen to me? And of course, these kinds of questions, we don't have the answers for them, except a biblical standpoint. Christians know where they're going when they pass. And many times, these patients will say, I have a good life. I can't be waiting from my Savior and being with God in His presence and being with His Son, Jesus Christ. They simply can't wait. And then we're talking about guilt. The people feel a lot of guilt because normally 80% of patients want to be able to pass while they're at home. Their home represents a safe and secure place for them.
Okay.
But it also provides for them, I want to be around my things. I want to be comfortable. And I can really be comfortable in my home instead of trying to say, I am comfortable or uncomfortable by being in a facility.
You know, this is really an interesting thought. Normally when we talk about death, we talk about grief, and we're thinking about the grief of the survivor. But in your case, there's grief on both the part of the sick person, the person who's entering hospice, and there's grief on the family. Are those two griefs the same between the family and the sick person, or do they function differently or about the same?
I would say about the same, about equal, because there's going to be the loss by the patient of the family who is still going to be here. Then there is the loss of the patient who is going to pass, and the family members are going to miss that loved one so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's about equal.
Do you find any difference between how men and women handle this, or is it pretty much the same?
I think women, because women have been caretakers most of their lives, and so it kind of automatically moves into that area where the women or the daughters or even sisters step into that process of, I'm going to take care of my loved one. So it's a natural process. It's not a natural process for men to be caretakers. However, I have seen a situation where many men, they really do stand up to their marriage vows through sickness and health. And they take on a lot of personal things that they never imagined that they were going to do. But once they get over that little hump, that this is my loved one, I cherish her, and I will depend upon the help of God to take care of it. But the ladies are generally the ones.
Would you relate the last stage of depression, last stage of grief, which is depression, would you relate that to a loss of hope? How does depression and hope deal with each other in a hospice situation?
I have found that the patients, when I'm talking to them, I will ask them, where do you draw your inner strength from to be able to face each day? I get all kinds of different answers, you know, from each person because it's different. But most of all, what I get is, I trust in God. I know He is with me. I know that He's going to take care of me. So therefore, that's typically where their hope comes from, because okay, we do live our lives by believing, you know, that when it's over, we will spend eternity in the heavenly kingdom of God. That's where our hope is.
Even when we talk about grief, when we talk about depression, there's a string of hope that runs through the whole thing, that it's going to be okay somehow. Either I'm going to be with Jesus, or our family's going to be okay. They're going to adjust and survive. Does the time element between the diagnosis and the eventual death, does the time element play a factor in how people deal with grief?
I think it does, because originally you're still shocked at the situation. Your family loved ones have to change what they're doing. Some even take leaves of absence to be able to come care. Some people move halfway across the country to come be there to give that care. Generally, what you will hear a caregiver say is, that's my mom, or that's my dad, and I'm going to give back to them what they gave to me. And right, you really sense this great love that they have for their family members. It's awesome.
Well, you must see some remarkable things of humanity in a time when all of the gloss is taking off and you're dealing with, I'll just use the word raw emotion, but you're dealing with the realities of life in a very unvarnished way. You must see some incredible strength from people in these times.
Going back to this awesome experience of love, the unconditional love, and then it automatically makes you think about, my goodness, you know, we read in Scripture about, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Imagine that kind of love that you're having, looking at your loved one there lying in a bed, and you're taking care of their needs, you're responding to them. And then I think that really makes people really say, what an awesome God we have.
In this whole process, in the hospice process, what is the role of the chaplain? But what is Leo's expectation of Leo when you meet a family and you meet a situation? what is your role? How do you view your role in their lives in this most important time? Because there's no do-overs. You don't get ready. You say, well, we'll practice this time, and next time we'll do it right. You got to do it right the first time. What is your role? What is it that you're trying to do right?
My role is being there, listening, talking with them, keeping them company, also talking about scriptures to help reinforce their belief in God. I try to determine what their concerns are, spiritual, and then I try to assure them through the scriptures about that dependence upon God. But really, my ministry is a ministry of listening. And that is not only for the patient, but that's also for the caregivers, too. It's a ministry of patience, Bob, is the best way.
A ministry of patience. That's awesome. That's awesome. It also sounds like it's a ministry of hope, because in this hard time, that hope we've already established is there. But sometimes it needs to have a spotlight shining on the hope, so for people to be able to see it, to be able to kind of see the whole picture instead of focusing on some very horrible, minute items.
Well, think about that word, the hope, particularly when people in hospice who have received that diagnosis, they know approximately when they will be departing this world. Other people who die in car accidents or airplane accidents or any of those kind of things like that, see, they don't get that opportunity to visit with their loved ones, to talk to their loved ones, to tell them how much they're going to be missing them or things like that. So that's that hope, is that I tell the hospice patient, remember, you are still alive today.
You have opportunity. You can do something
about it today.
That's right.
And that's right. And some of the people will talk about, you go into those coping things now about what do they do to kind of get me from daylight to dark. There is. It's almost like an innate thing. While they have accepted the fact that they probably will not be surviving, there's that hope again of it's going to be okay because I know where I'm going. So there's the hope.
Well, it's a wonderful ministry. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the one that we know is the love chapter, it says faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If I heard what you were saying correctly, that is the family members are able to express love to each other. It is that love that brings the light to the hope to help them to grieve and to help them to get through this process.
And one other thing along with that, they get to forgive and also to be forgiven during this time.
Oh, this is a key point.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit more about how that works. And does it work in conjunction with the grief process?
Yes, because that's one of the things that they do is, or whenever I'm talking and visiting with them, I'll just say to them or ask the question, are there any things that you would like to do and have done, you know, before the end comes? And I'm talking about, is there anyone that you need to forgive? Or is there anyone that you would love to hear them say, I forgive you? And you would be amazed. You really would. You would
really
be amazed about how comfortable and secure that makes them after they have that dialogue with their loved one.
Well, it kind of takes the guilt away.
Yes.
Because guilt is a hard thing to deal with. I mean, guilt is so personal. You can't talk me out of guilt. I have to forgive myself. But
right.
You're talking about providing a vehicle where people can, you're helping them to evaporate this guilt.
And another thing, Bob, that I ask them while I'm with them, because, again, as I say, I'm trying to just get them to talk, but I'll ask them a big question. Do you know what your purpose was for being here? They will dwell on that, and they'll think about it a little bit. But most of them don't think about that while they're alive. But they'll sit there, and then all I do is I reach over and I point at that son, that daughter, that caregiver that's there, and I says, there. Your existence is going to be verified by their continued life here on this planet. But we don't give a lot of thought to what our purpose is. But God tells us what our purpose is.
Amen.
Two things. Spread the gospel, replenish the earth. And that's a normal process as much as the grief and dying is a normal process.
This is wrapping up life, isn't it? The summary paragraph, it's wrapping up all the experiences of life into a package that kind of everybody can deal with. The person lying in the bed can deal with it, and the family can deal with it.
And the other part that I'd like to add to that, of course, is the purpose of hospice is to provide comfort. That's the common denominator, comfort from pain, comfort from emotional stress, comfort from spiritual stress. But it is, we're going to help them have peace, comfort, and dignity. at this end stage of life.
The doctors can take care of the pain. They can give you a pill for it. But the thing they can't give you a pill for it is what you bring to the mix.
Well, I wish these were my original words, but I had another chaplain say to me one day, he says, we are being given the greatest gift. We are being entrusted with their soul.
Well, Leo, this has just been very enlightening and just an awesome time to talk with you. Is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation that perhaps our audience might be interested in hearing?
Yes, I do. Let me summarize about grief. First of all, as I've talked about, no one escapes grief. Again, it's just like birthing, just like dying. We have to experience it because we have to keep going. We have to keep moving forward after our loved one passes. People grieve at different rates of time. Some grieve soon after the passing of a parent. Again, other time may go by. But the big thing is what I would really like to share with everybody is how you can learn to cope with grief. And first of all, biblically, accept that God is with you. Number two, God is able to turn your grief into purpose, like I talked about before. We all have a purpose. And last, try to imagine how Jesus would tell you to cope with the loss of a loved one. And I'd like to refer to you at this time to just read the scripture about Jesus, Lazarus, and his sisters, because Jesus loved Lazarus so much that he wept to see the grieving crowd, to see the sisters grieving over the loss of their brother. So ask yourself, Jesus wept, so he grieved, so how would he want you to grieve at this time? I'd like to say that there are several churches in the Slido area that have grief support groups. They meet on a regular basis. If you want more information about these groups and how they can educate you in coping with grief, contact me at St. Joseph Hospice. The phone number is 985-892-6955 at our office in Covington, and we'd be more than happy to help facilitate getting you into a grief support group.
Thank you, Leo. Your work with St. Joseph Hospice here in St. Tammany Parish is a valuable work.
Thank you.
The thing that you're doing is making a difference, I say, in the lives of people, both the person laying in the bed and the family. And you're making a tremendous difference, and we really appreciate you coming and spending a little time with us and sharing about these things. And we'll just continue to pray that the Lord will use you in people's lives and continue to make a difference in dealing with the grief and the loss of a loved one.
Thank you very much. I need the Lord's blessing.
Thank you, Leo. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning into Voices here on Grace Radio today. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037, where you can leave a comment. If you have a question about today's program, something Leo said that really touched your heart, give us a call. We'll be glad to put you in touch with him. Any other comments, we're always open to doing better, so we'd love to hear from you. You can like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can leave a comment. We'd also encourage you to go to our website, www.graceradioslidell.net, where you can make tax-deductible donations to help support this station. We depend on the financial support of listeners just like you. And again, that phone number to give us a call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.